contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
All right, we're back on Random Walk tonight. Once again, I'm your host, Victoria Andeas, and my lovely co-hostess,
Roz Davis. Good evening.
Yeah. Good evening.
So we're going to get started with tonight's space case.
Yes, and we'll be spacing out locally tonight.
Well, NASA Wallops Center, right?
Today is the NASA Wallops rocket launch.
Thank you.
And that isn't really a complete sentence.
I think that's the headline. All right, well, keep your eye on the sky, and you might catch a glimpse of an upcoming rocket launch tonight in less than an hour. It's launching from NASA's Wallops Flight Facility in Eastern Virginia, but you will be able to see it.
Here. Yes. They showed a little map, and they had the little circles, and Harding County was well within that last circle.
Wow.
So we're going to tell you all about that.
Northrop Grumman's Antares rocket is scheduled to lift off at 5:56 p.m., so a mere, 40 minutes from now, Eastern Time on Tuesday, August 10th, as part of the company's 16th mission to deliver supplies, equipment, and NASA science investigations to the International Space Station. As long as the skies are clear, the launch may be visible to people across the Mid-Atlantic region, including here in Hunterdon County, and possibly over other parts of the eastern United States. A map from Data LDEO shows that the rock should be visible for about 90 seconds to 2 minutes after launch in skies over Hunterdon County. If you happen to be on vacation this week in Delaware, Maryland, or Virginia, the Space Agency recommends 6 prime viewing spots in those states. And, of course, you could go to the Wallops Visitor Center, which we've been.
We have been there. And I did, I was wondering when I first saw this story, I'm like, wow, I wonder if the Wallops Island Center was still there. Yeah, did the base exist? Do they still have the visitor center like we visited that one time? And apparently it does, although it is currently closed for COVID.
Wow.
But you can still go to the grounds.
Oh, you can go to the grounds? And that's on Wallops Island in Virginia. And, yeah, we did visit the visitor center. These are launch rockets off from there on a regular basis, like small ones.
Like weather balloons.
Unmanned rockets. I think satellites, too.
I think so. Yeah, I didn't know that you could actually launch things that far north, so... There's a reason why we often use Texas and Florida and Arizona as space areas, I think largely because it's drier. But, so it's interesting that it's as close as Virginia.
It is. So you got the Wallops Visitor Center on Wallops Island in Virginia, Chincoteague Island in Chincoteague, Virginia, which is nearby. They're very drivable to each other. Assateague Island National Seashore in Maryland.
Yep, that's the place with the ponies, folks.
Yep, Ocean City, Maryland. Yeah. The Delaware Seashore and Fenwick Island State Park in Delaware. Virginia Beach in Virginia. You can also watch it on live stream.
Yes.
And apparently NASA launch coverage is to begin on NASA TV at 5:30. You'd have to stop listening to our show. But you know what? You could stream and watch it and listen to us at the same time. But
that's right.
20 minutes
just use
from now,
two devices.
Yep, 5:30 p.m. today. You can watch it on NASA TV. And launch updates will be available on the Wallops Facebook page and Wallops Twitter page.
All right. And it was still scheduled this morning, but I went on, I'm like, oh, it's cloudy. I wonder if they're going to cancel this. But alas, no, it is scheduled to go on. So we're going to, since you're going to be able to see it around, was it 5:55?
5:55.
Yeah, we'll kind of put on a nice long song so you can go enjoy that.
Well, cue the weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah, I don't, I should have brought that. I lost on Jeopardy. Well, this is actually, somebody may lose, but somebody's been winning, and so I guess that's kind of what this is all about. So I guess I'll start us off.
Yeah, you're going to start with the Mike Richards story.
Yes, I am.
And go into the Matt Imodio story.
Yes. This host may be in Jeopardy. Is Mike Richards' hosting career in Jeopardy?
Could be.
According to CNN Business, Mike Richards, who is in a line to become the next host of Jeopardy, is defending himself against allegations that he mistreated colleagues at another game show.
So Mike Richards, he's the current executive producer of Jeopardy.
That's correct.
He stepped in and did co-hosting duties, as there's been a series of co-hosts on Jeopardy since Alex Trebek passed. And he wasn't originally supposed to co-host. It was all accidental. It's just because of COVID and COVID precautions, they couldn't have anybody come in. Or they couldn't fly them in or whatever. So he took on the first 2 weeks of co-hosting duties in the new season.
Yes. Yes, he did.
So now he's up for the permanent job.
That's right. At the same time, he is also confirming he has been asked to consider hosting the show. Richards, who is currently the executive producer of Jeopardy, said no final decisions have been made about the next host. Discussion with me and other potential hosts are still ongoing. He wrote in an internal memo Monday morning. A spokesperson for Sony, the production company behind the game show, shared the memo. The appearance of Richards picking himself to succeed Alex Trebek has generated some backlash in the days since Variety first reported that he was in advanced negotiations to take over the show.
Apparently, people are like having a fit over this. There's like a lot of the Twitter space is chiming in about, I guess, who they think should be the next Jeopardy host. But I mean, it's up to Sony. It's not up to Mike Richards. He's not picking himself per se, even though he's the executive producer. Sony has final say on who gets to guest host Jeopardy.
Yeah, and he's only been an executive producer of Jeopardy for a short period of time.
Short period of time. I think like a little over a year or something like that. I thought it was much longer.
Right.
But he came on, I think, when we already knew Alex Trebek was sick.
Oh, yeah. So he has been doing it for a relatively short period, considering the longevity of that show.
I thought they said something like a year, but
it could be, yeah.
He's been on other shows. He worked on The Price is Right, obviously, for like a decade. And then he's actually hosted other shows. I think like Card Sharks or something like that.
Oh, he did that?
He's done some hosting and some like interim hosting.
Okay. Richards noted in his memo that the choice is not my decision and never has been. Indeed, CNN Business reported last week that the ultimate decision maker is Tony Vicarera, chairman and CEO of Sony Pictures Entertainment. Throughout the search, Sony's top priority has always been to continue the incredible legacy you and Alex built, Richards wrote Monday. As you know, Alex always believed the game itself and the contestants are the most important aspects of the show, and that will continue to be the guiding principle as the decision is finalized. The main thrust of Richards' memo was to counter recent stories about his reputation. The Daily Beast, for example, wrote last week that multiple women sued The Price is Right during Mike Richards' tenure as executive producer, and their stories paint an unsavory picture of Alex Trebek's presumptive successor. One of the lawsuits alleged that Richard had a hostile reaction when one of the models on the game show, Brandi Cochran, became pregnant. Cochran sued in 2010, and the case was eventually settled in 2016. According to the lawsuit, when Cochran revealed that she was carrying twins, Richard put his face in his hands. He asked her twice in an annoyed tone, "Twins, are you serious? You're serious?" After that, Cochran was booked to work less often and repeatedly taken out of acts she would have appeared in before. Richards challenged those assertions and others on Monday. "I want you all to know that the way in which my contestants and actions have been characterized in these complaints does not reflect the reality of who I or how we work together on The Price is Right," he wrote. "I know firsthand how special it is to be pregnant."
To be parent.
To be a parent. Okay. That's good. Because I can't imagine knowing that firsthand. But I know firsthand how special it is to be a parent. It is the most important thing in the world to me. I would not say anything to disrespect anyone's pregnancy and have always supported my colleagues on their parenting journeys. Jeopardy has been on the air this year with guest hosts in the wake of Trebek's death last November. Richards, who has years of past TV hosting experience, was one of the fill-ins, along with stars like Anderson Cooper, Robin Roberts, and LeVar Burton. He was just on a couple weeks ago. Joe Buck, the Fox Sports host, is guest hosting this week, the final week of new episodes in this television season.
Yep, the season's coming to a close.
That's true. Sony will need to appoint a new host very soon, since the next season of Jeopardy is about to enter production. They have a September premiere date, which that's pretty quick
season.
Now.
Yeah, it's not that far away.
Yeah. Richards ended his memo by saying, "It is truly an honor to get to work with all of you to produce this amazing show, and I look forward to the days ahead as we get back into production."
Well, Matt Amodio, known as mostly for answering what is or what? To every question on Jeopardy, and driving fans and grammar sticklers nuts, is now a 14-time champion after winning again on Monday night as Joe Buck hosted. Did you have any more comments about?
Interesting. I mean, they had a large selection of guest hosts. If they're really picking from any of those, who knows? I know you liked the guy they had last week.
Yeah, I can't remember who he was, but he was really good. I thought he was like
he's like a finance journalist.
Yeah, that guy was good.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah,
but I really liked him. And I think Matt Richards did the. It's Matt, right?
Yeah, Richards.
I hate when they always use the last name.
Yeah.
Mike Richards. See. I need some more ginkgo biloba. Mike Richards was pretty good. I thought Ken Jennings did a pretty decent job. And I liked Anderson Cooper. Those were kind of like my faves during the whole guest host season. I didn't see enough of LeVar Burton.
Well, we got to go back and binge the LeVar shows. I liked LeVar. People have actually wailed on LeVar's presentation. I felt he was trying to really make a good case for he could do it. He used a lot of these people are just kind of like being Alex Light, or they're just kind of like very, you know, kind of pick a generic host kind of a thing. I thought that LeVar was putting his own spin on it. I kind of liked that. He did make a few critical mistakes, like telling people they were wrong when they were right.
Uh-oh, that's pretty
important. Yeah, but he corrected himself immediately, but it was a little rocky there. So I understand, but, you know, you got to realize the guy literally worked one day.
That's true. So
I think he got a practice day, and then he got his actual work day in, and then that was it.
Right, because they do 5 shows in a day or whatever, yeah. So a week's worth in a day.
And so, yeah, and he got better at it as the day progressed.
Well, maybe he just needed more practice. But it's 61 clues, and it's a lot. I imagine there's, you know, people in your earpiece, and you're looking at that board.
You got a screen
in front of you, the screen with notes all over the place, and I don't think I could do the job, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is a very difficult, very challenging job, and anybody who takes it on is going to have their hands full. So hopefully it's going to go to somebody who really loves it and really cares about it. And I think Ken Jennings showed a love of the game. I think LeVar Burton showed a love of the game. I think Mike Richards showed a great love of the game as well. And Anderson Cooper did a nice job. The guy from last week did a nice job. A couple of the others along the way did some fairly nice jobs. So, you know,
there was just some people who I didn't like at all. But we won't go into that.
We're not going to go there.
No. But it'll be interesting when they do reveal a new host, and we'll see if I'll be watching in the new season. I've watched this leg of the season, so
yes.
I've been watching since November.
Yes.
On a regular basis before it was sporadic. All right, so Matt Amodio, if you've been watching Jeopardy, Matt Amodio has won Jeopardy 14 times, and he's going to go over his 15th tonight. But he and if you notice the way he answers, it drives people nuts, and because he's never who is, it's always what's or what is.
Yeah.
Apparently that's within the rules. Despite crossing out the right answer last night on Final Jeopardy, and that was sad. The answer was Cruz Magellan, and he had scrawled that out, and then I think put Drake or something like that, and then proceeded to lose a lot of money because he bet like $34,000. He still came out the champion, but he lost over $34,000, which is kind of sad because he played really well, and again, as per usual, he's been leaving people in the dust.
Yes.
And anyway, so he's now up to $440,600 in earnings so far. So that's how far he is. We'll see where it gets tonight. That has already put him in the fourth on all-time regular season winnings list, just under $100,000 behind Jason Zuffrenieri. If he wants to crack the top two, that will take a while since James Holzhauer's won over $2.4 million. So he's also the sixth in win streaks, 5 games behind David Madden's 19 contests won in 2005 and Zuffrenieri's same streak in 2019. So, yeah, he needs to be listed among the all-timers already. And you saw him emerge. Like, you knew by, like, the third or fourth show, you know, like, oh, you're watching something special. Because the first show, you didn't even know if he was going to get through it. He didn't say anything for, like, almost the whole show.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it's like, I wish I had that one recorded. I think I already, like, I have everything else.
Yeah, in your DVR.
On my DVR, but not that one. So, yeah, he needs to be listed among the Alzheimer's already, and there might be more wins in store for the PhD student at Yale. Matt also answered some questions for Yale School of Engineering's website, and here are some highlights. So how do you know so much? You know, I read a lot. I have to credit my love of reading. I spend most nights starting somewhere in Wikipedia. I read everything there, but I also get 10 or 15 links from that article to other things I'm interested in. That case cascades to more and more, and before I know it, the night's over, and I still have thousands of things I still want to read, and it just starts over the next day. So, nerd alert.
The way I do it, too.
This is even before your Jeopardy ambitions? Yes, I like gaining knowledge in general. What I will say is I'm a historian. I love learning about things before my time. For Jeopardy, I knew they were going to ask about recent movies, and by recent, I mean in my lifetime, not just this year. Recent movies, recent music, television shows, I'm not very up to date on those. So for Jeopardy, I did force myself to learn about those, which are not necessarily my top interests. How would you describe your area of research? In the broadest sense, I'm in the Department of Computer Science, but I focus on artificial intelligence and deep learning, specifically neural networks. This is pretty scary.
Yeah, this is. Actually, I edited this down significantly because they talk about you're going to mention about Kirschwami's lab in a second and computer science. So it's actually, there's a longer thing on that.
Yeah, so he's, within that, by virtue of being in, whose lab is that?
Kirshnowami's
lab. She works in genetics as well as computer science. My big thing is applying neural networks on biological data, so that's, like, creepy.
Yeah,
I'm telling
you,
it's like total recall territory. I still think, like, right now, life feels like a bunch of Arnold Schwarzenegger movie scripts. Between all this
You'll
stuff,
be back.
Between all this stuff going on Mars and artificial intelligence, and I'm just creeped out. Anyway, your answer style, prompted some controversy, but Jeopardy producers defended it. Yes, I have a strategy from where I form all of my questions with a what's at the beginning, then I can focus on the rest of the clue. Other people have been very upset about me being robotic instead of forming a question different. Maybe he already is a robot. Maybe he already is.
He is intelligence. Well, they asked him about Watson and how Watson, you know, played Jeopardy for a while.
Right.
And people played against Watson, so that kind of stung for them, I think. They talk about that, and how, would he like to be part of that team? He said, yeah, well, I'd be honored to be invited to that team. There were some other interesting comments, so I actually invite people to go track this one down, because it's pretty cool. If you just Google Matt Imodia Jeopardy, you'll probably get this article, which is just fascinating, really.
Wow. So, anyway, he says what's, and other people have been very upset about it, being more robotic instead of forming a question differently each time. I was glad that Jeopardy said it was perfectly within the rules. I watched Jeopardy every day of my life, so I knew it was okay. You're just eliminating unnecessary mental labor, which I didn't think of it that way. But that's the kind of thing we do in computer science all the time. You have a section of your program, and it does A or it does B, and it has to decide which. Then you realize, wait, we never actually need to do B. So you cut that off and just leave a small bit of program. It's cleaner, and where there are fewer things moving, there are fewer things that can go wrong. Which, yes, that's logical.
It's good, yeah.
Have you been watching Jeopardy your whole life? Absolutely. Before I was even able to understand the words, my parents watched it every day. I don't remember it, but I'm sure there was a moment when I got my first question right, and I knew for the first time in my young life, I said, oh my God, I knew one.
Yeah.
So that wraps it up for our space case and our Jeopardy.
Yes, our Jeopardy moment of the day.
Okay.
So why don't we take a break?
Okay.
And then we'll be back with some pet traveling tips.
Yep.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0000. 1-800-273-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
All right, we're back on Random Walk tonight. And I think it's now time for a few pet travel basics, it looks like. The basics of pet travel from Condé Nast. Traveler. So I guess I'll get started off. And
okay, sure.
Sure. Make sure your pet's up for the trip. The first thing you want to ask yourself is, are you sure your pet really wants to go? Says Patricia McConnell, PhD, a certified applied animal behaviorist and author of The Education of Well. I've seen people who believe their dog would be fine or they wanted their cat to go with them, but the animal was terrified of strangers or a wreck in noisy places. So think about your pet's personality and remember that traveling will involve exposure to new people and changing environments. Also, consult with your vet if you have any doubts as to whether or not your pet is healthy enough to handle the adventure.
Book in advance and confirm. Book your hotel or rental property early and call to confirm that you can get a pet-friendly room. A lot of times, hotels will only have a certain number of rooms available for pet use, says Amy Burkert, co-founder of GoPetFriendly.com. Airlines and trains also have a set capacity for pets each trip, so reserve ahead of time and be sure there's a spot for your animal.
Get a space-age pet ID. Your animal should always travel with tags that carry his name and your cell phone number. And ideally, your dog or cat should have a microchip. And our dog does have a microchip. I think everybody's pet should have a microchip all the time, says Dr. McConnell. Yes, a microchip. They're about the same size as a grain of rice. They're programmed with a unique ID number, and they're easily injected beneath your pet's skin. If he gets lost, a simple scan can identify you as his owner. This isn't just about keeping your tech edge. A 2009 study showed that microchipped dogs are more than twice as likely to be reunited with their owners as non-microchipped dogs. And microchipped cats are more than 20 times as likely to be returned home. Just be sure to keep your contact information current with the microchip registry database. That is very important.
Well, get an approved pet carrier. Make sure the airline or railway has officially sanctioned your carrier by checking the requirements on the website. Then label the carrier with your pet's name as well as your name and contact info. Mark it clearly and prominently with the words live animal so nobody can mistake it for regular luggage.
Ooh. Yeah, I guess that could happen these days. Acclimate your pet to the carrier. As soon as you've got your carrier, start enticing your dog or cat to use it.
Treats.
A lot of hard carriers come in two pieces, so I recommend sending out just the bottom piece and placing your pet's bedding, and even treats in there to make you your pet feel comfortable with it, says Susan Smith, president and CEO of PetTravel.com. Then put the top on and leave the door open at home. We have owners whose pets would prefer to sleep in the crate than the bed.
Bring medical records. Gather health records, medication information, and proof of vaccinations from your vet, and carry them with you. Rules may vary by airline and by country, so check for any pet passports requirements long before it's time to leave. You might even need your pet's medical documents when driving across state lines or to make an emergency visit to the vet.
Yes.
I've scanned my dog's entire medical records into a USB drive, and I keep that with us at all times on the road, said Burkert. That's a pretty good idea, I think.
I like that.
It also is wise to attach your dog's rabies tag to her collar, which proves vaccination, and to treat your pet with a preventative flea and tick medication before you go.
Yeah, and I would also recommend Bordetella if it's not part of your pet's regular shots. It's usually not required by law, but you never know what pet they're going to run into or if it's in a pet-friendly room who stayed there before you. So
right.
The Bordetella is good at protecting the pet. Get the right gear. Invest in collapsible water bowls, waste bags, a safety harness, and a leash. Don't forget comfort items like dog beds and toys. Bring things that feel like home, because even for a dog who is used to traveling, the first days of a trip can be unnerving, says Dr. McConnell. Always travel with bedding that the animal has slept on or with one of your t-shirts placed in the crate because it smells like home and like you, which is calming to your pet. The pet bed or crate can then serve as a cozy sleeping spot once you're at your destination.
Stay on schedule. Try to feed your animal at the same times of day as you would at home. Dogs get some of their security from staying on their routine, says Burkert. Don't overfeed before a long journey. A light meal a few hours before leaving can help avoid nausea during the trip.
Avoid adventurous eating. Bring your pet's food from home, which, you know, very important with us. I guess you'd probably have to also look at laws if you're going outside the country. But I find it very important because as soon as you shift the dog's diet, their tummy gets upset. Bring your pet's food from home and stick to bottled water. Changes in diet can cause GI upset in pets, that just as they can in their owners or their parents.
Mark your territory, or they will do it for you.
Yes. The great Dimitri.
Once you're at your destination, stick with your pet for a while to help you get her settled. If you are staying in a new rental property, we don't leave the dogs alone until we've been there for 24 hours, says Burkert. If we've unpacked and slept there, the dog's going to feel that this is home and we're coming back. When you do go head out without her, consider using an X-Pen or a baby gate to keep her confined to a safe area, or use a crate if that's where she feels safe and comfortable.
Yes.
So there are some pet tips and tricks.
Yes, to keep your pet safe as you are traveling with them.
Yes.
Well, that sounds nice. So we'll be able to observe good pet safety. Yeah, I know. It sounds like a thunderstorm is coming. Uh-oh. Well, we'll still play a long song. Anyway, I think it's now a moment for a mocktail. What do you say? It's been a long, hard day. Maybe you want to relax, but you don't want to drink too much because you got to get up early. So, here's one that looks actually pretty enticing to me. I don't think I've done this one before. It's called a missionary.
No.
And it takes 2 ounces of pineapple juice, okay. 1 ounce of simple syrup, 1 ounce of sour mix, which I'll go back and review that. And you'll need some ice cubes, and you want to garnish this with a pineapple wedge and a maraschino cherry. So you're going to take all your ingredients, that being your 2 ounces of pineapple juice, your 1 ounce of simple syrup, and your 1 ounce of sour mix. You're going to shake them all together over ice you're going to shake them together with ice, obviously, and then you're going to serve over ice in a highball glass. Garnish with a pineapple wedge and a flag of orange, I guess, if you prefer, and possibly the maraschino cherry. So you just load up on all kinds of stuff. So again, 2 ounces of pineapple juice, 1 ounce of simple syrup, and 1 ounce of sour mix. And I think, do I have a flag here on the page? Yes, I do. How to make a sour mix at home. This one actually calls for 1 egg white, but you can skip that. That is optional. It's 2 cups of water, one cup of sugar, and 2 cups of fresh lemon juice. So you're going to, you could whisk your egg white until it's frothy, but we're going to skip that. You take your water and your sugar and the freshly squeezed lemon juice, or you can just use some real lemon. Mix until the sugar is dissolved. Funnel into a bottle and keep refrigerated for at least 4 to 5 days. I think I usually heat the water, mix the sugar in, and then let it cool down and add the lemon juice and whisk everybody together and put in a bottle. And we use it because it works really well. And there's sour mixes you can buy at the store, but this tastes better and is better for you. Fewer chemicals in it. So that's how I rock and roll. Well, it looks like we're about the halfway point in the show. So let's do a couple of announcements, and we'll be back after this.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
100 in Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call 100 in Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdenhealthcare.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inchamberradio.com, brought to you by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, we're back on Random Walk tonight. And we have before us the calendar section for tonight.
We do.
How about that?
Yes.
Well, as the calendar editor, would you like to get us started?
Sure. There's free outdoor concerts on Wednesday at the Stengel Stage here in Flemington at 50 Stengel Road. This Wednesday, August 11th, Dave Sherman will be there. This concert starts at 6:30 p.m. So, again, free concert, Stengel Stage.
Right here in Flemington.
Right here in Flemington.
Yes. Very nice. I'm glad that they're doing some outdoor concerts. There's a lot of outdoor concert action going on.
Yes, it's nice.
Yeah. Well, next up, this Friday, will be 100 in Chamber Night at the Somerset Patriots. Will be held again on Friday, August 13th at 6 p.m. at the Somerset Patriots Baseball Club, which is located at 1 Patriots Park in Bridgewater. And the zip code there is 08807. The event will include food and beverages. There will be fireworks after the game. Tickets are $35 each and available at hunterdenchamber.org.
Oh, so there's fireworks. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, it's a firework night. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I think Fridays are often fireworks night there. I don't know if it's every Friday, but most, yeah. And the Somerset Patriots are, of course, a proud member of the Chamber.
Yes, they are. Catskill on the Delaware, an evening of the best Jewish comedians and a nosh on Friday, August 20th at 5:30 at the Borscht Belt, located at 19 Bridge Street in Stockton. $50 per person, and tickets can be purchased in advance at eventbrite.com.
All right. Yes, and Joey Novick is a part of that, so yes. Also a Chamber member. The last Artful Sunday for this summer is happening on August 20th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Hardin Art Museum in Clinton. Artful Sunday is an outdoor fair where visitors can shop art, craft, and design from local artists. That sounds lovely, actually.
Yes.
Yes.
It's been going on all summer.
It has, and I'm glad that it's still going on, at least for the better part of this month.
Open Covered Food Pantry and Thrift Shop is having an open house on Saturday, August 21st at 1 p.m. to learn about the pantry and volunteer opportunities. Open Covered Food Pantry and Thrift Shop is located at 37 Old Highway 22 in Clinton.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Backed by popular demand, Woods Edge Lunch with the Llamas will be held on Sunday, September 12th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., rain or shine, at Woods Edge Farm, located at 78 Bone Station Road, Stockton, New Jersey. Each ticket includes parking with wagon ride shuttle service from the parking area to the lunch location, dining at a table set up along the llama pasture fences. Parties of no more than six are permitted. Your choice of delicious lunch prepared by Constellation Culinary Group. Menu selection at the time of purchase. One bag of llama or alpaca feed.
Not for your lunch.
Not for your lunch. No, you're not going to eat the alfalfa pellets or whatever it is that the llamas and alpacas eat. You're going to eat a lunch from Constellation Culinary Group, whereas you are going to be able to feed the llamas and or alpacas that might be grazing nearby as you consume your lunch. So you're having some food, they're having some food, everybody's happy. The farm store will also be open for your shopping pleasure.
I like the farm store there.
I do like the farm store. If you have any questions regarding lunch with llamas, please email info@woodsedge.com. I believe there is woodsedge.com is also a website. You can go visit there, find out what they've been doing. There's not a lot of opportunity to go to Woods Edge Farm outside of the holiday season. They're usually open November, December. Sometimes they go into January sometimes.
I think they do.
I think there's an after season sale. Yeah,
it was like some sort of after season thing I did.
Yeah, earlier this year. So yeah. They do. So it is a rare pleasure to get to go into the shop this time of year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Juniper Hills Farmer Market, located at 73 Beaver Avenue in Annandale, every Thursday from 4 to 7 p.m. through November. There will be acoustic music and cold drinks flowing from the bar, so sip, shop, and support local Yum Yum. Can't wait.
Maybe I'll go this Thursday. Nice. Yeah. And that made me hungry. Speaking of being hungry, you don't have to be if you've gone to the Hunterdon Land Trust Farmers Market. It is open every Sunday through November 21st from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Divorce Farm. That is 111 Mine Street in Flemington, or just off of the Circle. Vendors offer an array of organic produce, all-natural beef, chicken, and pork, fresh baked breads, cave-ripened cheeses, honey, pies, native plants, fresh-cut flowers, locally roasted coffee, milk, and more. Shoppers should check hunterdonlandtrust.org for the latest information. So hopefully they'll be doing some live stuff because it's really cool. Wow, that looks like a heck of a rainstorm out there.
I didn't know I was supposed to be doing that.
I didn't know that either. I was under the impression once we were over it this morning.
Very rumbly.
Yeah. Good news is that you're in a, well, this part of the building is probably not, doesn't go back to the 1800s, but good news about a building this old is that, you know, it's seen its fair share of storms.
Yes, that's true.
And hopefully not the last of those storms.
Yeah.
Looks like you've got a few extra items there from the park system.
I do. Next Tuesday, August 17th from 7 to 7:30, Recycling is Magic with Cyril the Sorcerer. It's a virtual program, and all ages for children must be accompanied by an adult. The cost is free, but pre-registration is required. So, Cyril the Sorcerer was sponsored by Hunterdon County Clean Communities. Enjoy a magic show with performer Cyril the Sorcerer and a story of monsters, magic, and too much trash. A wandering wizard, learns that recycling is the best magic to cure the woes of a village beset by messy ogres. Learn how you can make a difference. Just as the wizard did. Designed for ages 6 and up, but all ages may attend. To learn more about Cyril the Sorcerer, visit CyrilTheSorcerer.com. This program is co-sponsored by the County Clean Communities and the Hunterdon County Division of Parks and Recreation. So to register online, you need to go to the Parks Department website at the county, as part of the county's website. So that's www.co.hunterdon.newjersey.us/departments/parks/programs.
Yeah, or just Google Hunterdon County Park System.
You could do that, too.
That works as well.
And then there's a tot walk the following day for deer.
Oh.
That's right. Wednesday, August 18th, there's two sessions, A and B, 9:30 to 10:15 or 11 to 11:45 at Echo Hill Park. Ages 2 to 4 with an adult, and they must be accompanied. The cost is $3 per child, with the accompanying adult attending for free. Pre-registration is required. Seven children accompanied by seven adults. Laura Bush is the instructor. She's the senior park naturalist. And again, you can return our three registration forms with payment. And again, go to the parks department. And if you want to know, that is really coming down that rain.
That's really scary, actually. I've never been in this part of the building while it's been pouring like this.
Yeah. Well, join Ms. Laura to discover nature at your local park. Leave the strollers behind as we take a walk outside to learn about deer. Just for the weather, as we will spend an entire 45 minutes outside, please indicate whether you're registering for Session A or Session B.
Another one, and hopefully we'll have somebody along to talk about this, maybe. You never can tell. But that the Hunterdon County 4-H and Agricultural Fair will be starting soon. It will be starting on Wednesday, August 25th, and will run through Sunday, August 29th. This is, of course, held at the County Fairgrounds, which is South County Park. It also has a longer name that's not on this website, which is located off of Route 179 in Ringo's. The physical address is actually 1207 Route 179, Lambertville, New Jersey. You might need that in case you were putting it into your travel
navigation system.
Yes, your travel system, be it Waze, be it Google Maps, be it anything else unbranded. So apparently fair hours are 10 a.m. To 10 p.m. on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and 10 to 5 p.m. on Sunday. They have a website. They used to have the lengthy county website, but they apparently have also condensed it down to HunterdonCountyFair.com. So you can also look them up there. There is free admission, but parking is $10. They'll have all kinds of shows. Let me see what they'll be having this year. In fact, the Hunterdon Chamber will be there. They'll actually have a booth right next to the main stage. But let's see if they've got to tell you what kinds of events they have scheduled here. As soon as it comes up. Looks like they do not have anything for... Oh, I guess you have to do... Alright. Mm-hmm. So nothing on that page yet, but they do have a bunch of open competitions.
Yeah.
There's open vegetable competition, as usual. I think it looks like the baked goods are not happening this year, just probably for safety. But they do have some very nice stuff. But you can, you know, enter that longest vegetable contest, and you can go again at HunterdonCountyFair.com, get all the information about that. And there's even a map that you can pull up. The official fair map is there, so it'll give you all those buildings, like the, you know, where you'd find the goat barn and the sheep barn and the horse barn. And of course, the tractor area. They've got the big tractor building, and there's a midway. So there's a lot of things going on at the fairgrounds, and they do have a comprehensive COVID safety plan as well, so you can feel safe attending. And they are available also on Facebook, so there's a lot of really good stuff. And they'll also have rides again this year. So they're not doing wristbands on opening day, but they will do them throughout the fair. And I think they're demand-based pricing, so you can see what that costs. If you want your kids like riding around on rides, or you're into rides, you can certainly get that there at the fair. And you get to see all the handiwork and cool stuff that people do throughout the county, throughout the year.
So they're going to still have the handiwork competitions and all that, right?
They are. That's the local 4-H kind of, I think, administers that. I believe if you're interested in participating in that competition, they're not doing quilts, but I believe they are doing, like, the crocheting, the knitting, that sort of thing, maybe the lace work and needlepoint. I believe you want to participate. There is sign-up forms, I think, on the website. Ooh, when it twisted that way, it actually gave me some good stuff. Show information. You have to drop them off at the Extension Center on Route 31. Usually, I think it might be the weekend ahead, or it might be 2 weekends ahead, so do check out those rules. Yeah, there's going to be a jewelry and beadwork, needlework. They are not doing the quilts this year, but they are doing hooked rugs, so you have that. Looks like people can enter the tractor pulls as well, although that looks grayed out, so maybe not. There's pedal tractor pulls, garden tractor pulls. Of course, there is the open homegrown contest, so that's, again, the vegetables. They have, again, a list. They have to be dropped off on Tuesday between 9 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. There's also the biggest vegetable specimens contest, same rules, again, Tuesday. You'll be dropping them off. There's a honey show this year. Fruits, farm crops. There's also flower and floriculture specimens that's also being done as part of the agricultural show. It's an open show, again, Tuesday, 9 a.m. to 2:30. And, did they get through the baked goods? Maybe they did reintroduce the baked goods after all. Let's see. It looks like they may have. So it looks like the baked goods are back on. That's good news. I will confirm that. But before baking something, you should probably check on that. Here is the contest rules, and they do have to be dropped off on Tuesday between noon and 2:30. And it does say that the rules have changed, so they did come up. So that's good. All right. So again, if you're thinking of heading out to the fair, there's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of good stuff for you to read out there on their website before you head out. You can know the rules and know what you're doing and get to experience certainly the agricultural richness of Hunterdon County at HunterdonCountyFair.com. So let's take another brief break, and then I think we're going to play out a nice long song, although I don't think I'm going outside to watch anything launch.
I don't think anything's going to launch.
I don't think anything's going to launch. Maybe it's not
we'll see
in
the launch.
I don't think we're going to see it. That is like a river coming out of the sky.
Yes.
So let's do another quick announcement, and we'll be back after this.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
All right, we're back with some random walk. And we had some random thoughts while we were away on that break, and one of them was, even though this show is predominantly about what you can do and enjoy here in Hunterdon County, sometimes we talk about some things that are outside the county because, you know, sometimes you want to get away. And they're still kind of on the local side. So you mentioned Music Fest.
Music Fest is going on right now.
It's going on right now. It started last Thursday, so we're headed into the second weekend. We're in the middle of the week. And so it runs until the 15th, which is Sunday. And they have free stages featuring over 300 live performances on those free stages. They also do have a main stage, a couple of paid stages that have tickets that you can get. I believe they have quite a few. And they have some really cool stuff going on this year. And the event happens, for those who are not familiar, it happens in the town, the little town of Bethlehem. The City of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, where they do, they have, nowadays it's two sides of the city. They have the historic district, and they have a bunch of venues there. They're called Platzes, because it's a German music fest with a K. And they also have the newer section, not at the casino, but that section in Steel Stacks, on the other side. I think that's considered the south side.
I assume.
I think so. And they have a bunch of Platzes there as well. They use the Frank Banco cinemas as part of that, and the Steel Stacks or the Levitt Pavilion that is always there, and I think the main stage is out that way as well. So there's a lot of great stuff to do. There's a lot of stages you can just walk into. Right now they have upped the game with the COVID protocols because there is a lot of, you know, breakthrough cases and things going on. So they are recommending masks where it's crowded. But there's still food. There's still drink. I believe the vendors are taking regular credit and cash this year rather than it used to be. You'd go buy food tickets and you'd go over to the vendor and give them tickets. They're just going to accept money right off the bat. There's still Handwerkenplatz where you can get a lot of lovely crafts. That is, I believe, on the north side. It looks like tonight they're featuring Colin Hay Band, or that's tomorrow night. It's Colin Hay Band. And just a lot of cool things. There's even, they also have links on their website to last year's virtual music fest. Not exactly the same spark, but definitely something that you can go back. If you missed it, you can go back and enjoy some of that. Some really good stuff going on. I recommend the Sunday night. I don't know what the weather's going to be, but they are planning for fireworks that night. And also Sundays during the fest, including the second Sunday, which will be this week. A lot of these plots also host church services. So one of the really cool landmark ones is the Polka Mass, which I believe will be going on at Fest Plots this coming Sunday.
Very good.
Yeah. So a lot of cool stuff. And they do have they also have an app that you can get. But if you just Google Music Fest, you'll get to all that good information, and it'll be great. And I think it's time for us to take our leave of you. If you can go outside and see the launch, I'm guessing with the clouds, it's not going to be easy. So we'll be with you next week, we hope. So
have a good night, everyone.
Have a good night. Stay safe.
Have a good week.
Yeah, have a good week.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Passage of a big infrastructure bill in the Senate is drawing praise from President Biden and Vice President Harris. The roughly $1 trillion measure easily cleared the Senate with some bipartisan support. During a White House event, Biden calling it sweeping and historic. Tennessee Republican Senator Bill Hagerty not a fan of the bill as he voted no.
Well, again, this is a massive power grab by the Democrats. Yeah. I think we've been lectured for 4 years about the fact that Republicans under Trump didn't respect our institutions. But as soon as the Democrats take control, they move to federalize our elections, to basically pack the court. And now they're taking the attempt to basically give us zero time to evaluate a 2,700-page bill.
The CDC is investigating a mysterious bacterial disease known as melioidosis that's killed two Americans and sickened two others. You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
New York Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo is stepping down from office on August 24th. From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, John Clemens has the details.
The third-term Democrat is resigning after 11 women came forward saying the governor sexually harassed them. And in one instance, Andrew Cuomo tried to retaliate against her. Andrew Cuomo was also accused of underreporting the number of people who died in nursing homes from COVID-19. Andrew Cuomo denies the allegations, calling them politically motivated.
I'm a New Yorker, born and bred. I am a fighter. And my instinct is to fight through this controversy because I truly believe it is politically motivated.
And your final numbers on Wall Street at the closing bell, the Dow gaining 162 points to finish out Tuesday at 35,264. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alarute. If you like my radio show, you're going to love my podcast, War Raw. Each podcast, I present my top 10 most outrageous, salacious, and controversial stories of the week. I break down the best of the best raw truth stories for conservatives, libertarians, patriots, taxpayers, Trumpers, and deplorables. Anyone who appreciates God, guns, gold, and tax cuts will stand up and cheer for War Raw. Check out this week's War Raw podcast right now. It's available to download on iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you listen to podcasts. War Raw.
War Raw.
A much public